Yes, two times in 1 week, because that is what we do. We are the realest podcast in the room. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Yo, Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, a writer. I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress, but today, this week, and probably forever, I am a podcaster. Across from me, She's not only a cartoonist. She's not only one of the greatest designers. She's not only one of the best creatives in the whole entire world, because she is only Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi, Joe.
Hi. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? Got some haters.
Speaking of this,
I probably have a lot of haters. It's okay.
Speaking of some Enzo More talk, I just want to put it out there in the beginning of the show that anyone who dresses up as Enzo Amore this coming weekend at AwesomeCon, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
tomorrow, yeah, if you're listening to this when the show comes out, it's tomorrow.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you dress up like Enzo Amore and come by the Curl Studio table at N5, that's N5.
You got some pizzas.
You know, if you come by talking like Enzo and actually dressing like Enzo as cosplay, I'm going to give you a free Curls print. Because I love Enzo right now, and I would be so happy to see an Enzo cosplayer. And I might, in fact, actually try to... Like, I don't have time to do a full-on cosplay of Enzo, because that would be really awesome, but I might have a style that's inspired by Enzo, probably on Sunday of AwesomeCon, because I only have one panel on that day. I think I can wear some leopard on that day.
Probably
wear some leopard print, so look out for that. That's what I'm hoping to do. No guarantees, but... You know, because I want to be professional, I gotta be myself, and it's a professional show for me.
You gotta be real.
I gotta be myself, but also I want to have some fun, and also I have some leopard print stuff that I owned, and I love Enzo right now, so I want to dress like him, because he's cool. But yeah, if you are dressing like Enzo, please come by the Curl Studio Table, N5. And if you're not dressing like Enzo, we have another deal for you. If you come by the table, N5, at AwesomeCon, and purchase something, and say, I like curls, that's the catchphrase, I like curls, we will give you something for free.
Something real.
Something for real, something for free. It's true. So come by, purchase something, and say, I like curls.
What if they accidentally say, like, you know what, I like curls?
Yeah, then...
It's just like the Pee Wee Herman, like, word of the day?
Yeah, it would be just like that. And then everyone's like, ah!
Yeah, ah! We should do that.
Ah!
She said it! He said it! Woo! So, hey, it's Carolyn's News.
Hey, guys. So let's talk about AwesomeCon a little more.
This just in.
Because we cannot stop talking about AwesomeCon, because it's the highlight of this week.
But also, we gotta make some corrections, don't we?
We have some corrections, but let's just preface this by saying... The schedule could change at any time. Room numbers could change. They could shift stuff around. Times could change. But I will say, in my opinion, since the show is starting tomorrow, I feel like this schedule is pretty solid. So let's just go with what we have right now.
This is it.
And also, if there's any changes, you can look on the AwesomeCon website and check that out.
And hopefully we'll be there on time.
And hopefully everything will run smoothly, because we got a lot going on. Because first of all, We will be at our table all 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, at N5. And another easy way to remember that, I was thinking about this, Joe, because I was like, hey, we make DC smell really good.
That's true.
Because, it's a swamp, quite honestly. DC is literally a swamp, categorized as a swamp. And Curl Studio makes the smell, the essence of DC, beautiful. We have beautification of DC. And an easy way to remember our table number is Chanel number 5. N5. That's where we'll be.
Ah, Chanel.
Chanel. Also, we have a bunch of panels. So let's
boom.
Let's get through all
boom,
these.
Boom, boom.
Joe, you're leading up the pack. You're doing Jeremy London Q&A.
I'm moderating the amazing
tomorrow.
Jeremy London. Tomorrow, 4:30. Starting at 4:30 to 5:30, room 150. Room 150. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be talking up on one of the greatest conversations you'd ever hear or be included in with Jeremy London.
Yeah, and then a half an hour later, you're going to also be in room 150.
Just so we know, that's a correction from last episode, because before we said it was on Sunday, but now it's, just so you know, I was wrong. Or I was told that someone else was wrong, but, you know, whatever. Now it's Friday.
It doesn't matter. This is Friday. Jeremy London Q&A at 4:30. Be there or be square. And in that same room, room 150, we'll be doing a live Carolyn and Joe Show podcast, which is this very podcast that you're listening to with your own ears right now. We will be there live tomorrow, Friday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. with our special guest, Mr. Phil Lamar.
The Phil Lamar.
The Phil Lamar. You might remember him from Pulp Fiction. You might remember him from Mad TV. You might remember him from so many other things, like Samurai Jack.
Pee-wee, Justice League.
Oh my gosh, so many things. I could just like name things forever.
I'm intrigued to see what happens. What are we going to talk about?
Everything.
We always got to try to talk about something that's new, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and you know what I think is really cool about Phil Lamar? Not only is he a voice actor, but he's also been on screen, and he's been on stage, he's done theater, he's done it all. And I really think that that's a multi-talented guy right there, and I want to know all about it.
He's one of my favorite hustlers, that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so that is the two panels we have going on Friday. But then on Saturday, the 4th of June, 2006, we have, I'm moderating Will Fredel and Gray DeLisle Q&A. Is it DeLisle? I don't know exactly how to pronounce her name.
Well, I can't tell because I can't tell on the sheet that we're looking at.
Oh.
We'll just call her Gray. Gray DeLisle.
Well, also, that's why I was like, is it DeLisle or DeLisle? Because I'm going to have to look that up.
Or you can just ask her.
I could just ask her. That would be good, but it would be even better if I can, like, look up on YouTube a video of her pronouncing her name.
Well, usually what you could do is, like, when the show starts, you go to their booth and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
That's actually a crucial thing to do. Say, hey, I'm Joe. Hey, I'm Carolyn. I'm going to be moderating your panel. Hey, let's, you know, so they can match a face.
That's definitely true. So, you know what, guys? Just so you know, we have a hashtag for this panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's hashtag WillGrayQA. I thought that was pretty clever.
That is pretty clever.
So, yeah. This is on Saturday, June 4th, from 11:30 to 12:30 in room 150, the same room. Three times in a row. And they are really exciting people because not only are they actors, but they're also voice actors, and they are very animated because they have to talk for cartoons, man. They have to voice cartoons, and that's pretty amazing.
Cartoons are huge too, you know.
I'm excited because, like, first of all, Will Fredel, we know him from Boy Meets World, and dude, he was in Kim Possible. He was Ron Stoppable in Kim Possible, and he was also Batman Beyond. He was Batman Beyond.
He was Terry McGinnis.
I mean, come on, man. These are all, like, legendary characters. And also, Gray was in Fairy Odd Parents, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. I love that show. Craig McCracken. And she's also Daphne from Scooby-Doo. I mean, come on.
You know what that means? That means she also worked with WWE.
Did she?
Because they have the crossover. Remember that?
Yeah. I hope she did.
I mean, they just had a Scooby-Doo crossover with John Cena and Brie Bell and all that stuff.
I'll have to check and see, but if she was on that, then that's pretty damn cool. Also on Saturday, again, June 4th, 2016, we have I'm going to be in a panel that's directly after the Will and Gray panel. It's 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. in room 144. Like, I'm literally going across to another room. Like, finally, a different room I can be in. And this is called How to Break into Comics and Survive. The moderator is Heidi McDonald. You might know her from The Beat. It's a really great comics journalist website that she's running. And the panelists are Brian Tillman, Amy Reeder, Justin Jordan, and myself, Carolyn Bilevsky. And comics, it seems like a glamorous life. But what are the nitty-gritty secrets to staying in the business? Well, we'll find out.
You say, like, staying in the business.
We'll find out, guys. We'll find out. So thanks to Heidi for asking me to be on that panel. I'm really excited.
It's a pretty good lineup of everyone on there, too.
I mean, and everyone's really making it happen. So I'm really excited to, like, learn some of their secrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So also on Saturday, you are doing Summer Glau's Q&A.
It's true. I am working with Summer
Glau. You are the moderator. And that is from 1:45 to 2:45 in room 146. You get to change your room now, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And you know, Summer, she's been in so many things, like Terminator.
Yeah, she was, you know, she was
Firefly.
The Terminator, she was in Firefly. You know what I mean? She was in, of course, in the movie Serenity as well, the continuation of that. She was in Dollhouse.
She's all over the place.
Arrow. She was in Arrow.
I mean, she's worked with Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Come on now. People.
She was in Con Men. That remember we went to the panel over in New York Comic Con?
Yeah.
She had a cameo in Con Men.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So that should be really exciting for you. Also on Saturday, I'm doing Create Your Own Superhero Symbol in the K-Zone. You know, that's where the kids are, the kids zone. That's from 4 p.m. to 4:45. And that's right next to our booth where the kids zone is. So, yeah. You guys remember Chanel number 5.
That's right.
N5.
That's right.
Check out Curl Studio there. And that's really exciting because the kids are, like, super imaginative. And I love watching them create their own superhero and also learn about design, because we talk about logos, we talk about shapes, we talk about color theory even. So they are getting educated. That is awesome. Let's make powerful visual identities at AwesomeCon. And also, at AwesomeCon, on Saturday, you are closing out Saturday with a panel called Awesome Filmmakers Making It Happen.
See, when I see this time, because it starts at 8:15, right?
8:15 to 9:15.
I feel like, what else are you going to do, Carolyn? I think you can actually be at this panel.
I mean, I'm not like a filmmaker.
No, I mean, like,
you got panelists already.
No, but I'm saying is you can actually, like, watch
I
and see how
enjoy
see this insanity that
I
happens,
can enjoy something for once.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do enjoy all of it, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's a time where you want to just sit and watch someone else entertain you. So, yes, that should be really exciting. Tell me more about Awesome Filmmakers Making It Happen in room 149.
Well, Awesome Filmmakers Making It Happen is the second time that we're doing this panel. Last year was such a great success. We had awesome panels during that one. So I was like, I pitched to them, let's do it again. Because it's something that we really got good feedback off of. Like, so many people came up to us afterwards and said how informative it was and how, like, just real we were, how we just kept it real. Because usually when people are thinking
Hollywood...
Because
you gotta be the realest guys in the room.
You gotta be the realest guys in the room. And there's so much real that was happening there. But it's really great. It's gonna be... We have great filmmakers attached to this. The panelist, Jay Jameson, just has this movie, released his award-winning film now called Try... So he's another great director to be part of that. Drew Bulduk, who, you know, he's working on several films. He's worked with the Troma guys.
Oh, cool.
So he even had
We met them at New York.
He was even in, oh, now I forgot his name. What's the leader of Troma?
I'm thinking of, like, Kaufman or something.
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman. No, not
no,
Charlie Kaufman.
It's not Charlie. Different.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know. I have his face in my head. And he was also in Guardians of
the
Galaxy scene.
He was actually in his movie. in Science Team.
Okay.
In Drew's movie. So, and also Kevin Sampson. Kevin Sampson has a show called Picture Lock. He comes from
Lloyd Kaufman.
Lloyd Kaufman.
It just came to me. Sometimes I have to go away for a second and then my brain pulls it back.
Yeah. So there's that. That's a great connection. I met Lloyd over at New York Comic Con. Great indie filmmaker,
and
great influence for that.
If it wasn't for him, we might not even have a Tim Gunn.
That's right.
Or not Tim Gunn. James Gunn.
Yeah.
Let's get our names right today, because
I'm tough.
A,
I'm not
I
good with names. I mean, I'm gonna botch. On. I'm gonna botch it all day long.
James Gunn. We all know him from Guardians of the Galaxy. Now
we have Kevin Sampson. You know, Picture Lock. I was just on his show. He's a critic. He also has his own shows. So that's another angle to come at. And then we also have Cooney. We know Cooney.
Yeah.
Crazy Cooney Christmas. Go look it up, everybody.
He always does our Christmas shows, the KKK
and
shows.
And he is the realest guy in the room.
Last year, he was one of
the realest guys in the room. He was quoted. People quoted at him being the realest guy in the room.
But you guys need to know that this event is rated PG-13.
Yeah, so we have limitations on how many times we can say words.
Yes.
And then we have Otessa Gadar, who is a great filmmaker, part of 2020 Productions. She's also the president of the DC Film Fest. Well, DC Web Fest, sorry. DC Web Fest. So look her up. She has some great stuff, and she's going to have some great intel. And I hear that she's looking forward to it. Her Instagram, her social media has been reposting all this. So is Kevin Sampson. So is Jay. You know,
it's always good when people that are on your panels like help promote, too.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this panel because I'm probably not going to have a chair. But each one of these panelists has a specific, they do something specifically different.
If you don't have a chair, you can sit in Cooney's lap.
I'm not going to do that.
I mean, he might like it.
But I think this is really a panel for everyone. Everyone should see this because it shows how real it is for filmmaking, how filmmakers and go through that process. And it's great because like we got the DC Film Office also help supporting this panel. We also got the Virginia Film Office helping us to push this panel out there.
That's good.
And that was really great.
So they were reposting all your stuff?
Yeah. You know?
That's good.
And I think, you know, hopefully we just break ground. You know what I mean?
Cool. So Awesome Filmmakers closes out Saturday programming for us. And then on Sunday, June 5th, 2016, we only have one panel, which is, like, feels like I can breathe now. We have The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. And this is a panel that we came up with a few years ago. We've done it actually at New York Comic Con. So going from a big stage to another big stage at AwesomeCon this year, we will be bringing this to you. And this is all about the fan who is an attendee that would love to be an exhibitor. Like, you know, like you have an idea, you want to make your own books, you want to self-publish, or you want to look for a publisher, you know? There's all types of options out there. So this is the panel for you. If you want to try to be a superstar cartoonist, let's see what you got, man, and come on the other side of the table and see what it's like from behind the table. So that is at 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. This is a short panel. It's only 45 minutes, so we got to get to the bone, man. It's at room 149, so that should be exciting, and we have new panelists this year, because I always try to mix it up. This year we have Brian Turner and Don Griffin, and they are both touring cartoonists and creators, and they are really excellent. Brian does a lot of really cool storyboard work, and Don, she has her website, zfcomics.com. She also is a designer as well, and we all really hustle to go to a lot of comic shows. You know, sometimes a lot of people might only showcase at a few local conventions, and that's fine. But we actually travel and stuff, so that's why I wanted them to be on the panel, because they go far distances to get some fan base going for their work, and I think that's pretty cool. So we're gonna try to help people out who want to try to do what we do.
Awesome. I mean, the key word in that title is Lessons from Creators, and that's really the best thing you can take away from it.
The subtitle should be the title. But always people are like, oh, what's it like to be on the other side of the table?
Yeah.
So it's clever. It kind of works on both ways. So, whew, that was the news. But I also do just want to throw out there one more time, just to make sure I get some. I mean, we're always going to have some questions also from the audience in person, but for the Will Fredell Gray DeLisle panel, I just want to make sure that we get a couple questions in online. So if you're on Instagram or Twitter and all the like, if you do have a question for these two awesome voice actors, please hashtag it Will Gray QA. And Gray is spelled with an E. So Will Gray QA. And We'll be looking for your questions because I want some participation from some online people too. At least one. Give me some questions, man. Give me some questions for them. I can also make up my own, but
that's true.
I just want some interaction. You know, you got to have some participation.
That's right. You want some players? Want some players?
I need some audience participation here. So please send them in. I've been hearing good feedback. Nadia wrote, "I love Will." So I was like, "Okay, cool." You know, like
that's
today's conversation. I mean, I feel that, like, you know, you just got to get down to the bone and say you love them, and then that's what it is, I guess. You know, cool. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really pumped for AwesomeCon. I feel like I'm getting pumped more and more. And when it officially starts tomorrow, I'm gonna be like railing to go. I'm gonna be pumped up. Because AwesomeCon seriously is it's not an official comic show. I mean, they've always said that obviously there are comics there, but it's about like everything that's awesome. There's gaming.
Yeah.
There's voice actors there. There's, you know, there's actors on like a lot of people's favorite TV shows. There's cartoonists there. There's musicians there. There's comedy there. There's Super Art Fight. There's so many really cool things that are going on, and of course cosplay. I mean, I can't even name all of them. Even they have like geek speed dating and yeah.
I hear Cooney's gonna take part in that. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm looking forward to that too.
He's like, I think I'm gonna try. I've been at least twice.
Who has been telling him to do that for years?
Who?
Me.
You.
I'm gonna take credit for that. I'm going to take credit for bringing Will Friedle to to the convention. But, like, I mean, not in terms of, like, I brought him there and, like, paid for it and everything, but we got to give a shout-out to Ben Pinrod, who started AwesomeCon, because he put together this whole thing. I guess now this is the fourth year of AwesomeCon starting tomorrow, and he put everything together, and I think that's really cool. He's, like, united a whole bunch of people.
He's done a pretty. If you guys have been noticing this past week, like on any TV station or all the TV stations in the DC area, he's like on all of them.
Yeah, I mean, like he's doing that media blitz.
Doing the media blitz, man.
Well, I think seriously, Ben, hats off to you. I think it's a great thing that you've created AwesomeCon, and it is really a show that everything is awesome, and DC area represents this convention, and I feel like there's so much good energy with AwesomeCon, and the energy flows throughout the whole convention. Like even on Sunday afternoon, it's still pumping.
And I can't fathom, you know, how complicated or how
it's pretty, you know, very complicated.
Just being able to organize such a massive new event, you know, every single year like this is a task, and he should definitely be thanked. I should give him a cake at the end of the. At the end, I don't know what to
do. I don't know if he's going to want a cake.
Probably not.
Reason,
he wants
though.
To get, he's like, he wants to get like cut in some
yeah,
good shape.
Yeah, because I wouldn't give some, like, he runs a lot, I always see him like running and like working out and like, you know, being fit and all.
Yeah.
But then that's kind of like, I don't know, don't give him a cake. Because like, I feel like, you know, when I tell people, I'm like, I'm trying to be healthy and stuff. And then like, they're just like buying like M&Ms and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, what? I just said I'm trying to be healthy. You know, like, you can't just give me M&Ms. It doesn't work like that. So, I mean, maybe we'll think of something else to do for him, but I don't think cake would be good. But, like, the intention is good. Like, the feeling of a cake is good, because cake's all about celebration.
Yeah.
We can give him, like, a digital cake. Or, like, a drawing of a cake.
Like, he'll look like just, like, a happy birthday cake. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben. But, yeah, Ben totally is awesome. And also, all the volunteers and the people that work behind the scenes at AwesomeCon, you know, they really work hard to put on a great show, and you can tell. I'm just very excited that DC has so much variation in the shows that comic creators can exhibit at too. Because we, you know, there's also Baltimore Comic Con that's an hour away, and there's also a Small Press Expo that's in Bethesda, Maryland, and we'll be at both of those shows in the fall, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it. But it's great because we have like three very different conventions in the DC area.
Just really thankful to be part of such a great event.
Yeah.
It's like one of the biggest events in the DC area that doesn't have anything to do with like politics.
Exactly.
Or a massive music festival that they would have on the lawn or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is like something, you know. Something.
And I feel like people crave it, man. It's almost like they need that culture injected into them. So I'm really excited. So enough AwesomeCon talk for now. Cause I could just keep on going
forever. I mean, you know, if any of you guys have been listening to how this show goes probably starting next week, you'll just be hearing all of our panels too. So it's just, it almost becomes like a cycle of the year.
Yeah.
Or it just becomes
the
like
awesome con
you
month.
Take like a month, like month. From the amount of panels that we have, that's like 2 months worth of like content that's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
But we can chime in here and there in between. We'll make it work. But yeah, something else I wanted to talk about that I don't know why I was thinking about a lot this week was, like reading, you know, there's like the summer reading
programs.
You're
like, I need to talk about reading.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, there's summer reading programs for kids in the libraries and stuff. And I don't know if they're still doing this, but all throughout growing up, I always remember them like giving you like a Pizza Hut coupon or something. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, did you participate in the reading program?
Did I participate?
Uh-huh. Did you?
I don't know.
Or did you just fill in some book titles and be like, I read these.
I read comic books. They didn't count back then.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I was thinking about it because I went like a good, probably like, this is going to sound really horrible, but I went through a good like decade of probably not reading anything that was like an actual book. And by actual book, I'm not trying to disregard comics because those are books, but like a book with like words, like with like full words, no images. And I don't know why, but something hit me about like, I guess a year and a half ago, I was like, man, I don't read. And I haven't been to the library in like forever. And so I was like, hey, library is free. I need to take advantage of like my taxpayer resources. You know, like I'm paying for this. And then I went to the library and I seriously like rediscovered books within this past year. And I just think it's cool. I just wanted to get people to like read for real. And not because like, I know it's hard in school because they're always like,
what do you mean for real?
Well, like in school, they're like this. And I feel like it took me like a decade to shake it off my body. Cause in school, they're always like, this is the book where everyone is reading. And like, they never really picked great books. Like, I don't know. I don't even remember any of them. And I just remember like, it was hard.
You're talking about
in
elementary school?
Elementary and high school. It was like super hard for me to like read. Like, of course, like,
well, what type of books were you looking to read?
I don't know. I've always actually enjoyed like really young, like children's book or like books.
I don't think they're going to be like, you need to read that because they're always going to look at those books and be like, those are for kids. That's not serious.
Well, even
that's
I was
not Catcher in the Rye.
It's funny because I was actually like checking out books recently. I guess it was a few months ago now, but, I had a couple like, children's picture books that I checked out.
Yeah.
And I also checked out, what's her name from Parks and Rec?
Audrey?
No. The blonde one. The main one.
Amy Poehler?
Yeah, Amy Poehler has a book called Yes, Please. And so I checked that out.
That's
like,
an
audiobook version of it.
You know, Madeline, who was the subject of the Work magazine shoot that I did, that she put that as one of her favorite book on there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a great book.
She said that Patrick Stewart shows up because she was listening to the audiobook of it.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah, and then Patrick Stewart shows up in it.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of cameos in there from people. So it's really cool. So check out Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. I recommend that. I was like returning the book, or no, I was checking them out. Because they don't really check it back in once you return them. But anyway, I was checking out like children's books and Amy Poehler's book, and the lady that worked at the library, she was like some Asian lady, and not that it matters, but she was just like, you know, you cannot. Oh, that sounds like Russian.
Have the mango.
You cannot have the mango. Like, she was like, you cannot check out books for your children or husband.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, in my head, I didn't even want to like argue with her. So I actually never said a word to her. And she's like, they need to have separate library card or whatever. And then I was like, in my head, I was like, these are for me. Like, I was like, what am I, like, a child is, like, I'm, like a young male? Like, it makes no sense, because also I'm like, why does this mean that my husband and my kids are reading these? Like, I don't even understand, like, why I can't check them out, you know? And there's a whole bunch of adults who love children's books. I just think children's books are, like, really nice and pleasant to read, even, like, the picture books or ones that have, like, very few words. Like, I checked out a couple, like, Caldecott ones, and I think they're, like, lovely books. Like, I don't know why they have to be pigeonholed to be like, oh, they're for kids. You know? Because it's like, anybody could read those. They're just nice books. Okay, people? Like, I know that you have to categorize everything and they have to put it in the kids section because, like, you know, it's young enough that a kid can understand it. I get that. Like, a kid isn't going to read Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that. But also, it's like, just because it's in the kids section doesn't mean an adult can't check it out. You know, like, I just hate people that categorize stuff.
It's a weird situation because also It's like, you know, she was judging your looks too. It's like you don't look young enough to get this book, or she's assuming that you have a kid. Or, well, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
She said that like I can't have a children or husband read these books. I was like, the hell, this is for me, man.
That's like an Asian slant, isn't it?
And I didn't even like get into it because like part of me was like, tell her. But then I was just like,
let her know.
I was like, no, I don't really want to deal with her. So I just like didn't say anything and took the books and left. Like, she still checked them out for me.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But I was like,
what's she going to do?
But I'm like, dude, she's like, actually, that's kind of like criticizing what you're like checking out.
You know, that's actually the opposite of, say, if you're getting adult material.
Yeah.
And you're not old enough to get adult material.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not young enough to get these kid books.
It's like, oh, you're old. You can't read
these. You can't get this. You're too old to read this.
But now
you're
too young. Now I kind of feel sad that now she thinks that I'm like an old man.
Yeah, but you're not going to see her ever again.
I know, but like mentally, it's like, I am like, I might look like a young lady or whatever, but like in person, I'm like an old man inside. Sometimes I feel like I'm like a 90-year-old man inside, and that's kind of messed up.
Strange.
I try to tell people that, but they're
strange,
like, what?
I tell you what.
I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it, but yes, that's what happened to me at the library. But back to like the reading thing, I will say, like, seriously, though, if, like, let's say you've been out of school for a while.
Yeah.
And you haven't picked up a book in, like, a decade or longer. Well, surprisingly, I bet there are people who haven't read in, like, 30 years.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. At this point, it's like, who really picks up books, too, you know?
I mean, some people do. I see people at airports and stuff. Like, you know, people need to pass the time.
They're all vintage.
Yeah, they might
vintage
be
people, vintage people, old school.
I think there are certain people, though, that, like, they're just book readers, like, from an early age. And they want to... They just love books, you know? But let's say, you know, maybe you might have been like me and you didn't really like anything that they prescribed to you at school. And you haven't really read. Like, I mean, yeah, I've read comics and stuff, and I'm not disregarding them, but there is something nice to also read a book that has full of words. And what's helped me too is audiobooks, because I have a, you know, it's not like a super long commute, but I'd say it's on the hefty side sometimes. And the audiobooks like get me through the day. Like, I don't even think about the traffic. I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm heading where I'm heading. I'm going to work and I'm, you know, commuting back and forth, and I can listen to my audiobook, and it's pretty awesome. I just want to throw that out there because it helped me. Yeah. I just want to try to help other people, too, because, like, just give it a try. I mean, if audiobooks isn't your thing... See, my whole thing, it's, like, it's actually hard for me to, like, sit down and read a book, because I might get tired. I might only be, like, 2 pages into it, and I'll fall asleep. Even if it's a great book. That's just how it is. But audiobook can keep my attention in the car. So that might work for some people. I mean, if you're listening to podcasts, if you're listening to this right now, you might be into audiobooks.
Probably. Why not? This is an audiobook. This is a live audiobook we're giving them right now.
It is, but it's more improv.
That's true.
So, because I didn't write any of the stuff that I'm saying. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to say how much I love reading now. I mean, does it count to say that you're reading
rainbow?
Does it count to say that you're reading if it's a audiobook?
No.
So what do you say? You're just like, oh, I listen to audiobook.
You listen to book podcasts.
No, that's literally what it is, isn't it? It's not a book podcast, though.
No, but
it's just like someone reading it.
Exactly. What is it? It's all the same.
And then also, like, speaking of...
That's like that's like theater. To me, that's like now like vocal theater, isn't it?
Yeah, and also speaking of our awesome con guests, like we have like Phil Lamar and Will and Gray, like they're all voice actors. And some of the voice actors that I've listened to on some of these books are like pretty damn awesome. Like... They impress me. Like,
is that something that Phil Lamar's done? Has he done books?
I don't know if he's done audiobooks.
See, I'm at that point where I'm trying to build up the arsenal of questions that can possibly, just possible questions, how it can just link things together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, dude, there's a couple people, like, I'd say in like 2 or 3 books that I've listened to, their voices are just really great. Like when it gets to the point where like a character is almost going to cry or something, like it sounds like they're going to cry. Like just the way their voice is and stuff. And I'm like, damn, that's some good acting.
That's some great acting.
Because it's not like they're just reading it. It's not like, and then I cried. You know, like, like it's like they're like actually like super into the characters. Because right now I'm like kind of near the end of Fault in Our Stars. I know that was made into a movie.
With Shannon Woodley.
Who's that?
She's an actress.
Okay. Is she the one that was supposed to be Mary Jane?
I think it's
not Jane?
Shannon. Is it Shannon? Or
I don't know. And something. I haven't seen the movie.
She was supposed to be Mary Jane, yeah.
So I haven't seen the movie because I wanted to do the audio.
I think she's in the Divergent series.
Okay. Well, also, I've also did, what did I do earlier this year? I have like the image of the charm bracelet in my head from the cover. But it was the girl at the house that, she died. I mean, it's not really giving anything away.
The house and she died.
No. The
Lovely Bones.
Lovely Bones. Thank you. Because I was like, oh, Lovely Bones. And I knew that was made by Peter Jackson. So then I was like, okay. I'm like a pretty big fan of Peter Jackson. But Lovely Bones, I hadn't seen the movie. And I knew it was made into a movie. So I was like, oh. I just randomly saw it at the library. Like everything that I've picked out has been completely random at the library. I'm just like, oh, I've heard of this. And then I'll just like listen to it. And so Lovely Bones, man, that was pretty crazy. And that was pretty awesome book. And then afterwards I watched the movie. So it's just, I feel like my life in the past year has been rich with stories, and it's helped me. Like it's changed me just to like input in something that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
During my commute. It's not like, what else can I do in the car, you know? And that's why it's just very nice, and I wanted to tell people that.
You know, it's really creepy, not really creepy, but really insane that I'm thinking about this right now.
What?
Like in the studio, I was just looking around, and the 360 that's happening in my mind of like, oh, you know, I'm about to have a panel with Summer Glau, right?
Yeah.
And I look to my left, and there's a huge poster of Serenity with Summer Glau on it.
And she's just looking at you.
She's looking, holding a gun.
And Nathan Fillion is looking at you too.
I was just like, it just kicked in again. I was like, this is happening? What the
See,
hell?
See, when you said it was creepy, like I was thinking of like the books that I have been listening to, like Lovely Bones and Fault in Our Stars. It's like, it's actually kind of sad. Like they're just books about like kids dying. I'm like, what am I doing?
But they're lovely books about kids dying.
Yeah, they're like just super well-written books about kids dying. But it sounds like it's kind of depressing, actually. Yeah. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, why? But I don't know. It makes you appreciate life more, I guess. So I don't know. I just want to throw that out there for somebody that's looking for something new in their life and maybe has neglected books. Because books are great. It's just that you have to find what's good for you, you know, what works for you, and not be told what to read. And I think school kind of ruined it for me.
Specifically for me, I need to have something where people don't tell me what to read.
Yeah.
Because I always have that first thought is like, don't tell me what to do. I don't even know where I got that.
Well, also like the whole class is reading it, so it makes me feel like nothing special.
Yeah.
But there was times where I remembered that they were like, pick the book that you want to do a book report.
I think it's funny, you know, like in elementary school, maybe in elementary school, but also in high school where you have reading time.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to sit around and read. Everyone's sitting in silence and reading.
Like on beanbag chairs.
Yeah, beanbag chairs. But they're like spread out throughout the classroom or something like that. I remember like, I don't know, for some reason, whenever I'm reading, the like people who are looking at me, they think I'm sleeping.
Because you probably are.
But I'm not. I'm reading. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the way my face is shaped where it just looks like I'm such in a relaxed state that I always had teachers like walk up to me and like, you know, like tap me on the shoulder and be like, oh, it looked like you were sleeping for a second. And I was like, no, I was reading.
That's funny.
I'm just saying. That's what people thought.
My German teacher made me so scared that to the point where I would like mash my teeth like as if I was chewing gum because I was just like nervous and scared for some reason. And he always thought I was chewing gum. And I was like, no, I swear I'm not chewing gum. And he's like, let me see. And I was like, no, I'm like, open my mouth and be like, I'm not chewing gum. And like, that would always
freak
me
out. What were you chewing?
I was just like gomping my teeth.
Gomping?
Yeah, like, I don't know what I was doing.
What the hell is that?
But like,
what the hell is that sound?
Yum,
yum. Yar.
I don't know why I did that. Like, I was seriously like afraid of him, actually. So... I mean, he also got, like, terminated the next year.
Terminated! Like, Terminator
he, like,
X!
He, like, lost his, like, teacher's license and everything.
Terminator X!
Like, I was seriously afraid of that dude. But, yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's hard when you're, like, accused of something by a teacher and you're just like, well, actually, I'm not, you know? Like,
actually.
They're, like, out there, like, looking for it, you know? It's like, they're, like, looking for kids that they can get in trouble.
Yeah, they got a quota.
They're like police.
They're like, we need to get at least 10 kids today. We need to get 10 kids.
Let's get those kids in trouble.
We got these kids, 10 kids.
them troubling kids. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know why school's got to be such a drag. Now that I'm older, I'm like, I can find a dozen or more ways how to improve schools. Like, I just feel like I could go in there and totally change how things are taught, and I think they would be taught better. At least for some kids, might help them out.
But see, here's the thing, though. It's like, I feel like a lot of times, if you're in a public, you're talking about public schools.
I mean, yeah, that's the only ones I'm used to. I don't know what goes on in private schools. Well, yeah,
because I feel like in public schools, it's not even, like, a lot of times, unless you have a really inspirational teacher, no one's really wanting to be there. It's, like, still, like, a babysitting committee, you know?
It's kind of sad. But I had a lot of good teachers, I think. I mean, not all of them, but I definitely had a few that, like, changed my life.
Yeah, I feel like...
definitely one, at least.
That inspired, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Mr. Evelyn.
Really, like, great teachers want to make you continue. Like, can open your eyes and open your eyes to all the content that you're in, you know, all the books and all the work, and they inspire you to really not look at it like bullshit.
Yeah,
that's to me, that was great when they inspired me in saying why this work is important and why you should love this work, when it like clicked in my head why we're reading this book, or I don't know. It's because sometimes in maybe in elementary school, you know, you just get bored or you don't want to be there. You got other types of drama, but it's cool when you get that cool teacher that makes learning, like, really fascinating.
Yeah. So did you ever have any books in elementary school or high school that you actually enjoyed reading? Can you think of any?
No.
Because I can't.
Are you talking about novels?
Anything. I mean, I know you like comics, so you don't have to name those. But like anything,
I guess those don't count.
Like,
then
I mean, I don't want to disregard.
I read
it.
Sin City. I read The Dark Knight. I read Watchmen back then.
Did you understand Watchmen?
Yeah.
What age were you? What grade?
This is high school.
Okay.
This is like in ninth grade.
Because I feel like I read a lot of great books. Not have understood it like when I was younger.
Dude, like I read a lot of great comic books and. Like 8th grade to like 10th grade, where it's like my peak of like really interest in that. Then I think something else came over.
Well, speaking of comics and that point of view about comics, because I don't like it when I don't call comics books, because they are books. It's just a different medium.
Comic novels.
Yes, graphic novels. But I do want to point out to the other day, so some of you may remember a year ago I did illustrations for the White House they did the healthcare.gov, and I did several comics for them. And it's funny because actually, you know, I haven't talked about this in a while, but the other day I actually looked them up because I needed to give a link to somebody about the comics. And, you know, I just Googled White House comics, and they, you know, they came up, or White House cartoons, White House comics. They, you know, you'll find them if you Google them. And it's funny because like a site, had some news about it, and I hadn't seen this site before because it got a lot of news coverage for about like a day and a half. You know, it went viral for like a day, and then it's like, bye, something else.
I mean, that's
happened.
Really how long it lasts, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so, but it was definitely a cool experience. So anyway, so I clicked on that link that, you know, I hadn't seen before, and it's really interesting because, you know, it's like, hey, don't, you know, you're not supposed to read the comics of all, you got a couple of haters.
Got some haters.
So I'm not supposed to read the comments, but, you know,
are you not supposed to?
I mean, I was told not to.
Who? The executives?
Yes, the executive.
Because they know?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I think they
we know what America is
like,
about. We know what America is about.
I think they're just trying to be, because, you know, there was also a whole bunch of nice comments, too.
Yeah, but so, you know, it'd be nice if there's somehow you can filter.
Yeah.
Positive to negative.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of nice comments, so I'm not trying to disregard the whole project, but there was definitely, you know, a lot of negative comments on this one particular site, and this one particular site was, you know, against the, you know, healthcare.gov, and that's fine. That's fine if you're for it or if you're against it. I don't really want to get into it politically, but I will say it was a good opportunity to, you know, when the White House comes to you and says, hey, we want to work with you, I'm not going to say no, you know? So, you know, politics aside, it's a good project because it's comics, and I thought it was like bringing comics to the masses, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have the comments in front of me because I would have loved to read them, but...
You just print them out and put them on the wall, like as one continuous flow.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily against me at all, but a lot of it was like against comics. They were like, oh, so we think that They're like trying to
The comics are dumb.
Like, here's all their points. And I could totally see how it's like an attack dog on just some, like, anything that they can grab onto because they're like against it politically. Which is bad
because it's a woman. That's pretty much what they did.
They did not say that.
But I feel like that's when people grab to the closest thing.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's like the closest thing was all, it was actually attacking comics as a medium. So, speaking of like, hey, reading is good, you know, tailing off that topic, and also, you know, and I don't want to say that comics aren't books, but there is a distinction of like seeing pictures in there versus seeing a whole bunch of words. And some people might want to read a whole bunch of words, and some people might be more visually inclined and like comics. The cool thing about comics that people don't realize, you know, maybe we should put together a list of like people's first comics that they can get into, you know?
Yeah.
I'll have to do that at a later time.
That was one of the things that Darwin Cook was really pushing.
Yeah.
To DC or even Marvel was an all ages brand. That he was like, why do we gotta make it all dark and all that stuff? It's like, I bet we can make it work. That's all ages books. You know, he really wanted to push that, and you know, I guess they weren't accepting to it. And
yeah.
It baffled his mind that they weren't, because
it baffles my mind.
Because all ages, you can still tell those types of stories.
Well, that's what I was saying with children's books. I mean, I don't mind reading a children's book. I'm not going to deny that. There's a lot of really nice books out there. Just because I'm an older adult doesn't mean that I can't read that. There's nice stories. They're just stories. Doesn't matter. You don't have to put an age on it. You know what's really interesting now is Diary of the Wimpy Kid started a whole new market. It's called Reluctant Readers. And Diary of a Wimpy Kid has cartoons in it, but it's not comics exactly. Sometimes it's written with an image. So, you know, it's like a picture book, but it's called Reluctant Readers because sometimes that type of kid doesn't want to read a whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
So that's like a whole new market that has opened up to a lot of new books for, I guess they'll call it middle grade students.
Yeah.
But back to the White House comments, you know, the main comments are like, oh, comics are for kids. You know, what do you think we are, 10 years old?
Yeah.
And like all that. And it was like, they didn't even see the message or, you know, like.
And why would they? They're not looking for it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that they're on the other side of the political spectrum, which I get. But I just want to put it out there that, like, that stigma is still there against comics.
Absolutely. I feel like stigmas will always still... Maybe I'm not... People don't think I'm as much an optimist or a pessimist, but I feel like stigmas will always go, will always stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people will advance. But and the idea will go, and it will go to lesser people.
Things are definitely changing. A lot of comics are being certainly accepted for young people now.
Yeah.
And so I think things are looking on the up and up. But it still bothers me that it's like people just look at what we do and they're like, oh, that's for kids, or like, you know, that's childish and stuff like that.
I look at it now as in like hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you have this older hairstyle and you're going to be stuck with that hairstyle until your hair grows out of it.
Yeah.
So these people just, and then you can develop a new style. But these people who have these old hairstyles, they got to still let that thing grow out and then they can reform it to a new ideal.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. I still think
it's cool that the White House decided to focus on comics.
But with the hair metaphor, some people still want to do the same haircut. You know,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
That's what they want. But yeah, I do think it's cool that they gave comics an opportunity. So that's really awesome. And a lot of people don't realize that when you pick up a comic, there's different ways to read it. It's not just about pictures. There's things that happen in between the panels. And that's what makes a different part of your brain ignite.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really a great thing about comics that, you know, prose can't necessarily do. And, you know, it's just a whole nother way to think and a whole nother way to learn and use your eyes and use your brain. And I don't know, man. Comics are just really cool. And I think that they should be accepted more.
You telling me, man. You telling me.
I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know... Try to check out some comics at AwesomeCon if you're heading out tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday in the DC Convention Center. And if you can, support one of the indie creators that are making awesome books for you, because there's a whole bunch of really cool stuff out there.
Yeah, definitely. Take your time to look at everything you possibly can. You're paying that money. Use up all the time you can to experience everything that we're giving you. That's really what it's all about. Let us entertain you with our work.
And if you're coming to AwesomeCon, come and say hi to us at table N5. You know, Chanel number 5, N5. That's where we'll be. And we're going to be really excited. Just tell us that you listen to the podcast.
N5.
N5, baby.
We're gonna tell us if they listen to the podcast, we'll give you something too. Why not? If they let us know about that.
They have to say the code.
Okay.
It's I like curls.
I like curls.
And we'll give you something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Code word.
Code word.
What's the password?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing? This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Check out my work, joecarabeo.com, one-shots.com, goastray.tumblr.com, mondaymistress.com. Check out Carolyn's work as well. Her work is 10 million times better than mine. curls-studio.com, put a slash on it, put curls. Also, check out karenbelevsky.com. We're also on social media. All of the social media. Astray J. A-S-T-R-A-Y-J. And then Karen Belevsky. At Karen Belevsky. Twitter. And Instagram. This show can be seen, listened to, and all that stuff. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google us. Do all that stuff. Do all that great stuff. And that's what you got. And that's what we got for yous. That is what we got. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
We got some pizza.
We got some pizzas. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate that you take the time to have us in your head. I know it's a scary thought. I know it's a really scary thought, but we really appreciate it. And definitely check us out at AwesomeCon. It is our hometown show, and we would love it a whole lot. A whole lot. And like every week, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
See ya.